due to unforeseen circumstances, I am filling in for the show today. So I will be talking about all things Boston sports and even sports in general. You can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. Phone lines are clear. And today, I want to start with the Red Sox. Because yesterday, in case if you missed the Shukri Wright Show, which is regularly aired Saturday mornings from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on the same airwaves on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, I talked about some of the things that the Red Sox are going to have to absolutely fix if they're going to make a run in the second half of the season. And yet again, last night, from the Red Sox, we saw the ugly truth once again. The problem with these 2019 Red Sox is when you see this roster constructed the way it is, you would think that it wouldn't be an issue for them to be able to duplicate the same success that they had last season. But this season has proven thus far that it's been anything but easy, anything but a cakewalk. And that's concerning. Concerning to the point that it's borderline criminal that the Red Sox have not been able to figure out what exactly is wrong with Chris Sale. And that's worrisome. And what's even more worrisome is that for the third straight start, he's allowed at least 5 runs, if not more. And I mentioned this yesterday on yesterday's Shukri Wright Show, that they need Chris Sale to start pitching like an ace. And he has done anything but that at this point. I mean, his numbers after yesterday's start are just downright unimpressive and ugly. 3-9 with a 4.27 earned run average. And here's the worst part. He couldn't even get through 5 innings. He only went 4 2/3 innings yesterday and only threw 92 pitches. So that tells you that, one, it's not a matter of stuff. It's a matter of being able to be economical with the stuff that you have. And two, he's not going deep into ball games. And what's even more worrisome, in the midst of this team hoping to make a run in the second half, because even entering Sunday, they're only a game out of the second wild card, which is in good shape considering all the things that have gone wrong for this team up until this point. But when you look at this roster compared to last season, the talent is still there. The talent is still the same. It's a failure. It's an absolute failure. But we're going to talk about Chris Sale and beginning with this first segment, because the thing that's frustrating about this, especially when you just gave the man a 5-year deal right before the season started, $145 million. He's pitched anything else but like himself. And one of the things that he said last night that really stuck out, and I'm going to break this down a little bit. He mentioned last night in his post-game interview, quote, "It's the same stuff. Just not getting it done. Just making bad pitches. Not keeping the ball in the yard. Not getting shut down innings when I need to. Just the same stuff as before." So there you have it. It's not a matter of health at this point, because in the first inning, he was hitting 95 consistently. 95, 96, a couple of 97s. So it's not a question of, well, what happened to his velocity? Or is his stuff not the same? Well, it's not as sharp. He was okay the first inning. But the problem is that when you watch him pitch, to me, it doesn't seem like he has the same kind of conviction that he had a year ago. Or even the first year when he was here in Boston in 2017. And the part that's absolutely maddening is that this comes on the heels of Dave Dombrowski yesterday going out to get a fifth starter and acquiring Andrew Cash in the trade with the Baltimore Orioles. On the same day, you go out and you get yourself the fifth starter, your ace, again, absolutely fails. Fails to get you deep in the game. Fails to do his part to turn the second half around. To turn this season around. And failed yet again to live up to this contract that he received at the beginning of the season. Feel free to call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. And I got to ask this question. Alex Cora, I got to ask you this legitimate question. You've been saying all season, you've been making excuses for him at the beginning of the season. Your frustration showed at one point halfway through the first half. And understandably so. But my question to you is this. Seriously. Did your cavalier approach during spring training and handling this pitching staff, but specifically Chris Sale, do you more harm than good? And it's the same question I'm going to ask Red Sox Nation. Did his approach during spring training and handling the pitching staff, but especially Chris Sale, do more harm than good? And it's something that Cora said in the post game last night. He mentioned, quote, "We have to figure it out. We will. This guy is one of the best pitchers in the big leagues, and that's on us to get him right." Yes, when he's right, he's one of the best pitchers in the big leagues. No questions asked. But he's pitched anything like the best pitcher in the big leagues up until this point. And it's concerning when just yesterday I mentioned on my show, the Strictly Right Show, that if this team is going to make a run, yet you need him to step up big. You need him to figure out what exactly has been the most troublesome as to why Chris Sale is not having the kind of success that he's having, that he's been used to having. So my question to you is this. We know that Chris Sale, so far in his Red Sox tenure, has yet to make all 30 starts in a season. 30, 31 starts, 32 starts even. Do you think the Red Sox should have waited? To be honest, yes. Because this was the concern that I had in March when they decided they want to hand him this type of contract. That you're going to give a guy who is yet to have shown you that he can pitch a whole season healthy, give you 200 innings, make 31, 32 starts, like an ace should. He's yet to have done that. But yet, your concern was, out of complete fear of making the mistake that you made with John Lester 5 years ago, that you decided that you were going to make the same mistake again. Thank you for calling on WMFL. You're on the air. Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember Larry Holmes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's no worries. Go ahead and ask. Yeah, definitely. And you know something? For a guy who, like myself, I started following boxing like about halfway into my teenage years, about 14, 15 years old. I myself, I'm not 100% sure, but it's something that I can honestly tell you. Right now, it's Manuel Char. He's a WBA heavyweight champion of currently right now. But for the United States, it's Trevor Bryan. He's the interim champion. Right now, he has he's 20-0 with 14 knockouts. But in terms of the International Boxing Federation, I don't know if you follow the IBF. That's Andy Ruiz. He's 33-1, excuse me, with 22 stone punch outs. These are three different categories. The World Boxing Association, the WBC, which by the way is that title is held by Deontay Wilder. He's right now he's undefeated. He's 41-0 with 40 knockouts. And the International Boxing Federation, that's Andy Ruiz, that's international on the international stage. That's a good question. I've been hearing rumblings about the Manny Pacquiao fight coming up. I believe it's either later this month or next month. I'm not 100% sure, but it's definitely something that is definitely getting a lot of interest, especially on Twitter. And I am actually curious to see how this one will play out. As a matter of fact, he just fought last night. Manny Pacquiao, that is. They just had a fight last night on July 20th. I actually missed the fight. So I'm not going to pretend as if I saw or know what happened. But he's in a different fighting class altogether. Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for calling in.
But what happened to the old days when Muhammad Ali was a champion, or Joe Frazier was a champion, or George Foreman was a champion, or Larry Holmes was a champion? You knew who the champion was, and you waited for the champion to fight again. What happened to those days?
You know, I think it's a legitimate question to ask. I don't know. I think part of it is a couple of things, in my opinion. Number one, the quality of boxing as a whole, as a sport. Number two, the way that it was promoted, because although I'm much younger, I don't remember those golden years of boxing when you had guys like Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, you know, Joe Frazier, like and so forth and the likes of such. But you know, when they fought, it was a huge deal. It was much talked about, and even in the 90s, you had, you had guys like, correct me if I'm wrong, Oscar De La Hoya, for example, you know, like Sugar Ray Leonard. And for me, it was definitely one of those things where I think it came down to interest and as well as the quality of fights, because let's face it, we witnessed some legendary bouts back in our day. And by the way, thank you so much for the call.
Okay, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
You seem to be well-versed in the boxing field anyway.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. You know, it's not often that I get the chance to talk about boxing. But interestingly enough, I thought to myself, you know, just finishing up this point, there's a difference in how boxing is promoted, and especially, more importantly, in my opinion, how this sport has certainly translated from yesteryear to present time. But going back to talking about the Red Sox, I definitely want to see how the Red Sox will try to fixate and see what can happen with Chris Sale moving forward, because it's alarming. You have him for 4 more years after this season. Actually, 5. That after this season is when the 5-year new contract kicks in. What's scary is this. What's scary is that if this is the new reality, you're screwed. You're absolutely screwed. And it's really worrisome just watching him this season. And the worst part about it is that the decision of the Red Sox management that you had this fear of what was going to happen if we let Chris Sale walk in free agency. And frankly enough, I thought their biggest mistake was comparing Chris Sale to John Lester. And I'm going to tell you why. The number one reason why it's a big mistake, because you knew what you were getting year in and year out with John Lester. You knew that you were getting a guy that was going to give you at least 200 innings or close to it. Make 30 to 32 starts. Chris Sale has yet to have shown you that. But yet you offered him the big deal before you really got the chance to get to really see if he can hit those important benchmarks. I can't believe that here we are in mid-July. We're still talking about Chris Sale's ineffectiveness when he should be a factor right now for this team. We're going to take a break. But when we return, I'm going to talk about the Andrew Cashner deal. You can feel free to call on the 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I want to talk about the Andrew Cashner deal coming up next and why I think, while it wasn't a bad move, you still have a problem. You still got a big major problem that you need to address. We're going to play for you a public service announcement courtesy of WMFO, and then we're going to go to music break. This is the Shukri Wright Show, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Form Radio.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, 3 more fingers for everyone over 60, 2 over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
WMFO Medford.
WMFO in Medford.
91.5 FM WMFO.
On 91.5 WMFO Medford.
Tufts Freeform Radio.
Dave Davies, he kind of helped me go crazy. Well, I was just a little kid, but I was feeling what he did when he took his razor to his amplifier speaker, and he got that sound that filled my town. Everything that you see and hear, can you? Neptune and Titan, the stars can frighten. At first nothing is, then nothing transforms itself. And your guitar is not a guitar, yeah.
Welcome back. This is the Shukri Wright Show, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Free Form Radio, filling in for Dead Air today until 2 o'clock. You can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. We're talking Red Sox baseball, and, I mean, anything sports, really, at this point in juncture. We had a caller call in during the last segment, talking about boxing, as a matter of fact, and it's definitely a lot of fun to talk to. So I definitely look forward to the calls come in. Don't be afraid. Anything and everything sports related is on the table, and I can definitely do my best to have a conversation that's definitely not only entertaining but also informative as well. So yesterday, before the Dodgers and the Red Sox played last night, they went out, the Red Sox went out and acquired Andrew Cashner. They went out and got a fifth starter that not only would slot right into the number five spot in the rotation, but in all hopes for the Red Sox that they would hope to get innings and not only quality starts, but filling a key part of the rotation that frankly has not gotten the job done at all this season. And to finish up this last point on Chris Sale, you know, in the part that's mind-boggling, last season, in large part, the Red Sox were winning Chris Sale starts home or away. But this year, you won't believe that the Red Sox record in Chris Sale starts the season. 6-13. Which is outright unbelievable when you expect your so-called ace to have a big impact as to what this team should be, and where it should be. But he's been quite the opposite. So they went out, Dom Dombrowski went out and acquired Andrew Cashner to be the number five starter for this team, behind guys like Chris Sale, David Price, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Rick Porcello. Okay. You got a starter who, frankly, he's been pretty good in this season with the Baltimore Orioles prior to his acquisition. However, the Red Sox still have a major problem on their hands. Here's the thing. I mentioned yesterday on my regular scheduled show, on the Shook It Right show, that the Red Sox, they need help. They absolutely need help in the bullpen. The fact that you're going to use one of your starters, that you're going to use one of your starters to become the team's closer is an abomination in itself. How foolish could you have possibly have been, Dave Dombrowski, Red Sox ownership, thinking that you could skitter your way through the season, thinking that you're not going to need a bona fide closer, at least, in the very least, get yourself a serviceable one. And you're going to use Nathan Eovaldi as a closer. Okay, you know what? If it works out, fine. But I'm telling you, October is a whole different animal. Especially if you're a closer that has never closed out big games in October, and experience absolutely matters. Feel free to call in at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 to weigh in on this topic. I am in just awe of the following stat that I came across today that really speaks volumes regarding the Red Sox struggle, especially when Sale, Porcello, Price, and Eduardo Rodriguez aren't starting, or even Nathan Eovaldi. You ready? They're 2-7 with a 6.79 ERA on average, and they only have logged just 51 innings. You need more out of your starters. Your starting rotation isn't an area of concern in terms of going out trying to make a deal. You need your four horses to pitch better, especially Chris Sale. Eduardo Rodriguez has done his part. Porcello has got to pitch better. Price, he hasn't been terrible, but he could do more. He could do better than this. And for you to go out and get Andrew Cashner, yeah, he's been having a great year. A good year, rather, that is. Prior to coming to Boston, he'll be making his Red Sox debut this Tuesday night against Toronto. He's 9-3 this season with a 3.83 earned run average, 17 starts. All in all, while completing at least 7 innings in his last 2 starts, and in his last 5 starts, he's gone at least 6 innings, and he's posted a 1.41 earned run average since the beginning of June, which is pretty solid. And you hope that he can give you those key innings that you need out of your number 5 starter. But again, you still need critical and quality arms in your bullpen. So my question to Dave Dombrowski is this. What are you going to do? Because right now, it's not enough. Steven Wright coming out of the bullpen? What a joke. Like, seriously? And then on top of that, his performance last night did not help either. At all. And what's frustrating about this is that when you're looking at this Red Sox rotation, and you think about the success that they had last October versus what it is now, I don't think them pitching last October, going as deep and as far as they did, has any bearing as to why they struggled the way that they've struggled at this point. Andrew Cashner is a guy who has pitched left-hander hitters very well, which is critical, especially in a division where you have power left-handed bats. And to give you his numbers against left-handed hitters, Cashner, he's held left-handed hitters to a 182 batting average. He's only allowed one home run and a 499 on-base plus slugging percentage. So this is a guy that the Red Sox have acquired who can't get left-handed hitters out, which is good. But, however, my question is, especially as we approach the July 31st trade deadline, which is 17 days away, and I'm going to keep asking this question leading up to the trade deadline. What is Dave Dombrowski going to do? What is John Henry going to do? What is his front office going to do? Because the fact of the matter is this. What you don't have right now in terms of your bullpen is your major weakness. Yes, you have guys that can get guys out, but they haven't done the job at all. And it amazes me how, as a whole, we're still talking about what it is and what is holding this team back. The fact of the matter is this. The Red Sox, as it currently stands, they have grossly underachieved. Grossly underachieved. And I'm amazed how, up to this point, right now, your two best starters are David Price and Eduardo Rodriguez. And by the way, E-Rod, he leads the Red Sox in wins. Price, having a pretty good season himself. He's 7-2 with a 3.24 earned run average. He's having a pretty good year. But I think it's also fair to say that, hey, you need more out of him. And I absolutely believe that if Porcello, if Sale, if those guys can turn it around, and especially now with the addition of Andrew Kashner becoming the fifth starter on this team, they can turn it around. Hey, who knows? You just never know what this rotation can become. I'm taking your phone calls at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. And when we return, we're going to talk a little football. We're going to talk a little NFL football. Because training camp is literally right around the corner. And one thing that I am going to do, especially as we move forward, is that I am going to talk more and more about football as to what to expect this upcoming season. But coming up next, you're not going to want to miss this one. Some early topics that will be fascinating to watch for this upcoming NFL season. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of questions that need to be asked. Hopefully, I can provide a little bit of insight as to what they are. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show, filling in for Dead Air on 91.5 FM WMFO Tufts Freeform Radio.
Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Hey, this is Chris from Strike the Box. I'm on every other Thursday from noon to 2 p.m. here on WMFO in Medford. The show is 2 hours of free-form music, where I play just about anything and everything. And like a lot of other DJs on WMFO, I take requests. So if you want to hear it, and if I can find it, I'll put it on the air for you and on the internet. Whatever it is. How many other radio stations will do that for you, huh?
I love it so much.
Time goes by and waits for nine.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, and this is the Shukri Wright Show filling in for the dead air. And you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. I'm your host, Shukri Wright, and we're going to look ahead to the upcoming season for the NFL. Especially, there are some stories that I think is definitely going to be fascinating to watch. And I definitely think it's going to be a lot of fun when you see certain teams next season, if they are going to make a big leap forward or going to take a step back. New familiar faces in new places. I think that in itself is going to be quite interesting to see how that works. And I'm intrigued. There are some NFL headlines this upcoming season that I'm absolutely interested in talking about. Just offering my thoughts on it. And if you want to offer your thoughts and your predictions, or just on that very thing, just talking about the NFL this upcoming season in terms of storylines and so forth, you can feel free to call in at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. I'll be taking phone calls. The first one I want to touch on is this. How do you think the Saints, the New Orleans Saints, will bounce back this upcoming season after going through the worst non-call that we have seen in a championship game on Championship Sunday, probably of all time? I want to start off by saying this. If you're the New Orleans Saints, you got to use that as a source of motivation. It's no question. Listen, the Saints last season seemed to be that team. A team of destiny that had Super Bowl written all over it. You know? It certainly did. And the thing that was truly so remarkable, we talk about how the Saints, they were able to absolutely basically dominate their way to winning the division, the NFC South, last season. And what are they going to do for an encore after getting to the NFC title game? And we all remember what happened. And the thing that's truly insulting to NFL fans is that on that non-pass interference call, I really just don't know. I don't know what to say to the NFL except shame on you. And they finally were able to rectify that by instituting a new rule that will go into effect this season, but too little too late. The Saints were robbed of an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. So now my question is this. Do you think that this offense will be even better this upcoming season? Do you think that the New Orleans Saints, defensively, they will continue to get better this upcoming season? Do you think that when you consider the following, when you consider guys like Drew Brees, who coming off a historic season last year, the season that he had, nearly throwing for 4,000 yards, 32 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Do you think that he will be better again this year? I think so. Do you think that Alvin Kamara can potentially make that big second step forward? Because he is an absolute beast, without question. Do you think guys like Michael Thomas can anywhere and will become an even bigger factor for this team? I think so. But I think, if we're being completely honest, moving forward into training camp, that they're going to use that loss as motivation to right an absolute wrong by the league and by that referee that basically screwed them over. No question. I absolutely think and believe that the Saints, they're going to be better than 13 wins. They're going to win 14 games because they're going to play pissed off. But however, I am intrigued to see what this defense is going to look like. You have Sheldon Rankins still playing, that's playing defensive tackle, and as well as Cameron Jordan, one of the best pass rushers in the league. And not to mention the secondary, in which that has made big improvements last season, especially when you talk about guys like Marcus Williams and Marshawn Lattimore. So I'm absolutely interested to see what this team is going to do in 2019. Another headline that I'm absolutely looking forward to this upcoming NFL season, with NFL training camp just under 2 weeks away, is what will the New York Giants do about Eli Manning? Listen, I'm going to say this very abundantly loud and clear. The New York Giants have absolutely fallen into oblivion of mediocrity for one reason and one reason only. Eli Manning is part of the reason why, but he isn't the only reason why. I absolutely believe that part of the problem with this team last season was that defensively, they just weren't very good at all. They weren't. And I really think, and I really do wonder, with the departure of Landon Collins, he's now gone. He's now with the divisional rival, the Washington Redskins, which that in itself is hard to believe. That secondary is now even weaker. I know Janoris Jenkins and all still there, but you lost an all-pro safety, one of the very best safeties in the league. And you can blame David Gilliman for that. And I got to ask this serious question to Giants fans in particular. If Eli Manning has similar struggles to what he had last season, do you think that the New York Giants say enough is enough and finally say, you know what? We're going to bench Eli and start the backup, David Jones? Do you think that finally happens? Or do you think they say, you know what, we're going to just ride it out? Because the fact of the matter is, this team has gotten worse in the last couple of years, 2017 and 2018. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They finished dead last in the division last season in 2018, only winning 5 games. And then also in 2017, they only won 3 games, also finished dead last in the division, going 3-13. So my question to the Giants, as part of the interesting headlines that I am looking forward to this NFL season, is this. At what point, if, and I do mean if, Eli Manning struggles again this year, when do you pull the plug? When is the right time to do so? Third headline that I'm looking forward to, and I'm absolutely interested in seeing this, not just because the NFL is truly an interesting product. Never really truly a dull moment, but what I am interested in seeing is this. Philadelphia, the Eagles are going to absolutely have monster questions after deciding not to bring like Nick Foles, and Carson Wentz is coming back from injury. Here's the interesting aspect about this. The interesting part about this all is that we know what Carson Wentz is capable of. When healthy, we saw in 2017, if it wasn't for that horrific injury that he had late in that Super Bowl championship season for the Eagles, replaced by Nick Foles, we all know how that ended. But now, there's no more Nick Foles in Philadelphia. So that safety net is gone. So this is all on the shoulders of Carson Wentz. Right now, they're expecting Carson Wentz to be completely healthy for OTAs and training camp, by the way. But if he is healthy, there is no question why this Eagles team, especially Carson Wentz, can't duplicate the near MVP success he had in 2017 before the injury. Because before he went down in 2017, I will tell you this. He was the front runner for the NFL MVP award. No question. But that remains to be seen. The big question is with him, can he stay healthy? That's really the biggest question for the Eagles, is Carson Wentz. The defense, I think, will be fine. Offensively, they'll be solid. The question mark is at quarterback. Can Carson Wentz be healthy and remain healthy? That in itself is, as a headline in itself, that's going to be absolutely fascinating to watch. And to watch unfold. Another headline that I'm absolutely looking forward to. The last one, and I'll touch on before I wrap it up for the afternoon. Can the New England Patriots repeat as Super Bowl champions? Can they or will they? Can they? Yes. Will they? I have been given very little reason why they can't, but they do have question marks. On right now on the Patriots, they have question marks. Not so much as a result of Brady or Belichick. Defensively, they are absolutely stacked. Especially adding Michael Bennett to the fold, that's huge. But their receiving core is definitely something of concern. And especially at tight end. We talk about Gronkowski retiring. They bring in Ben Watson, but they've done absolutely nothing else after signing Ben Watson that's going to help replace. You can't forever replace Rob Gronkowski, but rather get as close to the production that you did when you had Rob Gronkowski before he retired. And on top of that, what can you realistically expect out of the first round draft pick, N'Keal Harry? He hasn't played an NFL snap yet. He's about to embark on his first NFL training camp. So that in itself will be fascinating to watch. So we'll see. We will see what happens. I want to wrap up the show on this last thought here. This season for the NFL is their 100th anniversary. It's going to be fun to watch, especially when you talk about teams that have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl title, like the Rams, the Saints, maybe the Eagles in the AFC. You got the defending champion Patriots. Maybe the Chargers. Definitely Kansas City is in that conversation for sure. Especially year two of Patrick Mahomes. So I'm very much intrigued to see how it all unfolds and what will happen next. I want to thank you all for tuning in to the special edition of the Shukri Wright Show, filling in for Dead Air. Can't wait to speak to you guys again next week on the Shukri Wright Show, which will be here on Saturday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. This is the Shukri Wright Show, and you have been listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusk Reform Radio. This is Shukri Wright signing off. Thank you. Have a marvelous Sunday. Stay cool. Be safe. I'm out.